والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. If the sisters can hear, please send down a note or something, a piece of paper or something. We just wanted to take advantage of this time while we're sitting in the house of Allah, waiting for the Hafiz Ja'far, Hafizullah, to come. Just to remind ourselves of some of the things that would benefit us in this sacred month, the month of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, the month of which the Quran was revealed. It is barakat, it is a blessing, and the Quran is a furqan, a distinguisher between that which is correct and that which is incorrect for human beings. In this month, we know that from the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the implicit statement, and at least, alhamdulillah, Hafiz has come. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. We'll give him a chance, inshallah, to make two rak'ah. Have you prayed Isha? We'll give him a chance to make Isha too, inshallah. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned implicitly in the Quran and also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the authentic narrations, at least implicitly, that in this month, and maybe explicitly in some narrations, that in this month, whatever we do is increased. Whatever we do becomes compounded. In the other 11 months, we get a certain type of reward for doing things. But in this month, whatever we do of good is increased. And some of the ulama, from the principles of usul, they say that likewise, whatever you do of bad is also increased. It's also compounded. And for these brief moments, we just like to mention that some of the aspects, I have written some things down that I just wanted to make some comments on that came to my mind. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in His book somewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His book, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. In this ayah, in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تبارك الذي بيده الملك. Blessed be He who has the dominion of the heavens and earth, the kingdom, in His hand. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. And He has power over everything. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. It is He who has created death, and Allah chose in His infinite wisdom to not say life first. It is He who has created death and life, not life and death. Death and life to try you to see, and Allah already knows, which of you, and this is the point we wanted to make, which of you is أحسنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention in this ayah الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. He doesn't say أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. He says أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is the one who created death and life to try you, to see, to test you, to see which of you will be more in good works. No. Best in good works. Allah is not concerned with the multiplicity of the actions in this month or any other month. He's not concerned with a whole lot of raka'at, of raka'as in this month. He's not concerned with a whole lot of charity in this month. We're not saying that Allah is not concerned with your raka'at and not concerned with your charity and not concerned with any of the good deeds that you do, but He's more concerned with ahsanu amala, the perfection of your deeds, not the quantity of your deed. Allah wants the quality of your deed. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the authority of Abu Ya'la, Shaddad ibn Aus, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. That surely Allah has made perfection in everything. Made perfection in everything means He has made it obligatory that the Muslim perfects their deeds, every single deed. Not so much Allah is concerned with how many raka'ah you do, how many times you make subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, how many times you make wudu, how many times you give charity, but the ihsan of your action, the correctness of your action. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after making the general statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah has made obligatory ihsan, or perfection in everything, the Prophet then took one type of worship out of the many types of worship, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book that was revealed in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَّاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Surely my prayers and my animal sacrifice, because some people translate it as my sacrifice as sacrificing time for the masjid, sacrificing your money. It doesn't mean that. Nusuk is your animal sacrifice. Taking the animal, saying, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, cutting the four vessels for the pleasure of Allah to seek His face. Inna salati wa nusuki, surely my prayer, whatever type of prayer it is, obligatory, superobligatory, nafl, optional, my animal sacrifice, my life and my death, lillahi rabbil alameen, it's for Allah, the Lord of the world. So then the Prophet in that hadith, when he said, Inna Allah katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay, surely Allah has made perfection obligatory on everything. إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسَنِ الْقِتْلَةِ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسَنِ الْذِبْحَةِ فَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. رواه مسلم. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so when any of you kills, let him kill well. When any of you slaughters, let him slaughter well. And let him sharpen, any one of you should sharpen his knife to cause ease for that thing that he's going to slaughter. So he took out one type of worship, which is mentioned in the verse, to show that everything that we do, we're supposed to do it with perfection. Allah is not concerned with how many cows you slaughter, how many goats you slaughter, how many sheep you slaughter. He's concerned with the ihsan of the slaughter. With the ihsan of the slaughter. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Salatul Rajuli, the prayer of a man, fi jama'atin, in congregational prayer. In congregational prayer. Tudha'afu ala salatihi fi baytihi wa suqihi. It is multiplied and has superiority over the prayer he does in his house and in his marketplace. The prayer that he does in jama'ah has superiority over the prayer that he does in his house and in his marketplace. خَمْسًا وَعِشْرِينَ دِعْفًا. 25 times. 25 times in degree. That is because, or that's only attained, the Prophet ﷺ said, ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءَ. That's the key. If he makes wudu, and he makes the wudu with ihsan, he makes wudu and he makes the wudu with ihsan, he makes the wudu and he perfects the wudu, ثُمَّ خَرَجَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, then he goes to the masjid. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ أو كَمَا قَالَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He doesn't leave his house, or لَا يُخْرِجُهُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ. Nothing makes him leave his house to go to the masjid except the salah. When he does this, he goes to the masjid. لَا تَزَلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ. The angels will continue to make dua for him. the angels will continue to make dua for him as long as he's in his place of making his salah, his musalla. When he gets to the masjid, the angels will say, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, as long as he stays in that spot. All of that is contingent on two things, his niyyah and the perfection of his wudu. In the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yakhtu khutwatan, he doesn't make a step, illa rufi'at lahu biha daraja, except that every step that he takes, he's going to be lifted a degree. وَحُطَّ عَنْهُ خَطِيئَةً, and a sin is going to be removed for every step. He gets none of that. He doesn't get the dua from the angels. He doesn't get the sin removed for every step. He doesn't get raised a degree for every step unless he perfects his wudu. Perfection of the wudu is a prerequisite for him getting all of those things. And he won't be considered in the salah. At the end of the hadith, he will be considered in the and in the salah itself, meaning getting the thawab, the reward of the salah, as long as he's waiting for it, he won't get any of these things if he doesn't have a pure niyyah and he doesn't perfect his wudu. So the first thing is, for this month and any other month that's coming, that we want to perfect our actions. How many times have you seen brothers making subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar like this, with their fingers. There's no ihsan in this. How can you expect your reward to be accepted? How can you expect to get the reward? How can you expect that thing to be considered worship when you're doing it like you're in some triathlon? You're doing it like you're in the Tasbih Olympics, in the Tahmeed Olympics, in the Takbir Olympics, in the Tahleel Olympics. And your fingers, you can't even, there's no way you could be saying Subhanallah correctly. There's no way in the world a human being could be going that fast and saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah is not concerned with ikthar. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أكثر عملا. No, أحسن عملا. He's concerned with the perfection of his salah. He's concerned with the perfection of his tasbih. He's concerned with the perfection of the sadaqah. He's concerned with the perfection of every single act that the person does. So that's the first thing we wanted to mention. And that perfection is following the sunnah, not going overboard, adding things to the deen, and not going underboard, if that's a word that I'm making up now, unfortunately. Not going underboard. Not adding to the deen and not taking away from the deen. So we should not be considered brothers and sisters with the multiplicity and the quantity of the action. We should be more concerned with the quality of the action. That's number one. And lastly, number two, is doing the thing continuously or continually, and not leaving it off. Because some of us will increase, which we should be doing, our recitation of Quran in this month. We'll increase our Qiyamul Layl. We'll increase our Sadaqah and all the good things that we normally would like to do. We'll increase them. But we'll stop doing it when the month is over. Or we'll do it this week and we won't do it the next week. Or we won't do it for the first 3 weeks of Ramadan and we'll increase it in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And then as soon as the Eid comes, we leave all that stuff off altogether. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do things in moderation. He wants us to do things that we have the ability to do. It's better for us to pray 2 raka'ah of Qiyamul Layl with 1 witr and do that through the whole month of Ramadan than to stand up forcing yourself to make 8 raka'ah or 10 raka'ah with witr and only do it once in that whole month. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, it says, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسجد, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the masjid, فَإِذَا حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ بَيْنَ سَارِيَتَيْنِ, and he saw a rope suspended between the two poles, like these two poles right here. He saw, when he entered into the masjid, he saw a حَبْلٌ مَمْدُود, a rope suspended between the two pillars of the masjid. He said, مَا هَذَا الْحَبْلُ, what's this rope? فقالوا هذا الحبل أو حبل لزينب. This rope is for زينب رضي الله تعالى عنها. إذا فترت تعلقت به. When she gets tired, she hangs on it. Because she wanted to stay up and make qiyam al-layl, a lot of rak'ahs. So to keep herself up, she used to suspend a rope between the two pillars, and when she gets tired, she'd hold on to it, just so she can finish those rak'ahs. This is the way some of us are acting today. We want to force ourselves to do all of this work. The Prophet said, حُلُّوهُ وَلِيُسْتَلِّ أَحَدُكُمْ نَشَاطَهُ. He said, take the rope down, untie the rope. When any one of you prays, let him pray according to his ability. You know, when he has his vigor, because all of us have vigor during the beginning of Ramadan, like the Prophet ﷺ said, لِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ وَلِكُلِّ فَتْرَةٍ وَلِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ شِرَّةٍ وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدَ اهْتَدَى وَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. He said every action has a point of activity. When a person is real high powered and he's zealous and he's just fired up, he's pumped up. No tahajjud, tarawih, salakah. 5 days goes by, then everything simmers down. It gets real soft and low. Next thing you know, you don't see the brother anymore. He was really pumped up during the whole month. So every action has a shirra, the high activity enthusiasm. And every shirra has a fatra, which starts cooling down. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى السُنَّةِ. Whoever's action, whoever's point of slowing down and simmering down is towards my sunnah, then he's going to be guided. And whoever is slowing down is towards other than my sunnah, he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be destroyed. So Zainab radiallahu anha, when she made these two pillars, when she put this rope between them, the Prophet told them to untie it. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلِيُصَلِّ أَحَدَكُمْ نَشَاطَهُ. Let the person, when he has some activity, let him pray when he has some activity. But when he becomes tired, إِذَا فَتَرَ فَلْيَرْقُدْ. When he becomes tired, then get some rest. Just go to sleep. Get some rest. Lie on your back on the masjid floor or whatever. This is the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform his prayers. This is the way he used to perform his actions. If he became tired, and he was the best of us, out of the best of worshippers, of all the worshippers of Allah, then he would go to sleep. That's his sunnah. فَمَنْ رَغَبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever forsakes my sunnah is not of me. He didn't force himself to do more than what the person has the ability to do. So the two things we wanted to mention is that we need to, number one, perfect the actions that we're doing and not be so concerned with the quantity. We should be concerned more with the quality. And number two, we should try to be doing these things as much as we can, even if it's a small amount. Because Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبَّ الْعَمَلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that the most beloved actions and deeds with Allah, أَدْوَمُهُ, are the ones that are done continually. وَإِنْ قَلَّ, even if it's a little bit. You do it consistently, constantly, you do it all the time, you don't leave it off, even if it's a little bit. Allah is more concerned with you doing an action that's a little action, but you do it all the time. And the way that you perfect it is by doing it all the time. Don't worry about just stumbling in the Quran. Don't worry about the brothers and sisters who have a difficult time reciting the Quran. The Prophet said, الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ. Whoever reads the Quran and he recites it with proper tajweed, he recites it and he's proficient in reciting it, he's going to be with the emissary angels. وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَتَدَعْتَأُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever recites the Quran and they have difficulty, الحمد لله قل هو الله أعوذ قل أعوذ برب. Whoever has difficulty when he recites it, he stutters when he recites it, he's going to get two rewards. So just keep trying, being consistent. continuously doing the practice, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a great reward. And we have one last hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife was asked, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, كيف كان عمل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل كان يخص شيئا من الأيام. How was the actions of the Messenger of Allah? Did he take some days and make them exclusive, some actions that he did exclusively for those days? Aisha said, لا. كان عمله دينة. كان عمله دينة. أيكم يستطيع ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يستطيع. She said, no, his actions were done deematan. A deema, they translate deema as continually. But deema means al-matar al-da'im. Al-matar al-da'im. It means continuous rain. That's the way the Prophet's actions were. His actions were like continuous rain. It just kept raining and raining and raining and raining. She said, أَيُّكُمْ تَسْتَتِيعُوا مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْتَتِيعُوا. Which one of you has the ability to do what the Messenger of Allah did? That's why Zainab had the rope up. That's why Abdul Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I thought in my mind to do something very bad, which was to leave the prayer of the Prophet, because he was leading them in Salat. The Prophet was making long surahs. We don't have the ability like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should try with all our level best, inshallah, to do what we can, and do it in moderation, and then build it up, and make sure that it's perfect, inshallah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. It's 7:58, inshallah. We just want to make one statement for the sisters, in case there's some questions and some answers. We just want to answer one question that someone, that my sister-in-law asked me, actually it wasn't my sister-in-law, it was another sister and my sister-in-law, asked me this morning at my home. They asked, was it permissible to make the 6 days of Shawwal combined with the makeup days for when the woman has a menzi? In case there's some sisters upstairs that have this question later on, we'll answer it now. Is it permissible that for the sister who wants to make up her days in Ramadan from last year or this year, if Allah tests her like he tests the daughters of Adam with menses, and then they want to add with those days, they want to combine those days with the days of the 6 days of Shawwal. Anybody have an answer for this? Anybody? Want to tackle this? No. The brother said that if you have two niyas, you have the niyah of the 6 days and the niyah of the making of the days of Qadha. This is one of the opinions that some of the ulama say. But the opinion that we're going to present, and it may not necessarily be the opinion of this masjid or of myself, but we have to entertain what the other side says also. I read what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, hafizahullah, and we have about 6 seconds left, where he said, no, this is not possible. He said, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صام رمضان وأطبعه ستا من شوال or من شهر شوال, whoever fast Ramadan وأطبعه ستا من شوال, and whoever follows it up with 6 days of شوال, فصيامه أو فصومه كصوم الدهر أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم, then his fast will be like he can fast it the whole year, continually. Right? The Shaykh says, if the person had 6 days of menses, and they fasted 24 days out of the 30 days, they cannot use the 6 days of Shawwal combined with the 6 days they have to make up, because the explicit statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, وَأَطْبَعَهُ, and follows it up with 6 days. So once Ramadan is over, for everybody, those people who don't have menses, right? They fasted 30 complete days. The sister still hasn't completed her Ramadan. She has 6 days left. And the Messenger of Allah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever follows it up, follows up the fast of Ramadan with the 6 days of Shawwal. So if she fasts
the 6 days of Shawwal and the 6 days that she has from Ramadan, she's not following it up. She's doing it together. You see? She has to wait until she fasts the 6 days that she owes and then follow it up with the 6 days of Shawwal. And this is the way the Shaykh answered it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And it's 8:01 time to make the qiyam al-layl. Making up the day? Yes. And the person who's traveling and the person who's sick, no scholar can tell them if they're traveling or not, and no scholar can tell them if they're sick. If a person has a headache, they can break their fast. A person has a cut on their finger, they can break their fast. If a person is traveling from here to Philadelphia, they can break their fast. As Imam al-Qurtubi, we were discussing the other day with Saif and somebody in Ali, in the truck the other night, Imam al-Qurtubi in his tafsir, he brings a narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin, radiallahu anhu, who was one of the top of the tabi'un. One of the major tabi'un. One of the scholars of the tabi'un, who used to take his hadith from Abu Huraira. One day, one of the tabi'un saw him eating during Ramadan, obviously. He said, "What's happening? You're not fasting? What's going on?" He said, "Waja'at isba'i hadi." He said, "My finger hurts." That's it. And that's the way and this ayah that this story comes under is, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Whoever among you is sick on a journey, then let him make the days up. Muhammad ibn Sirin, one of the tabi'un, one of the top of the tabi'un, broke his fast simply because his finger was hurt. So no one can tell a person who's traveling, and no one can tell a person who's sick. One man's ceiling is another man's floor. Allah has made the concession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires for us ease and not hardship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And let's pray qiyamul layl, inshaAllah.